Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy speculation and advice. Now, along with the guys from Fanball.com, here's the host for Fantasy Football Weekly, Paul Charchian.
In a sea of chaos and change, there is your every week destination for fantasy news and information. Fantasy Football Weekly, I am Paul Charchian. My co-host is Brian Johnson, normally either in our studio or in my kitchen, but now, thanks to social distancing at an extreme level, Brian is on the phone. Hi, Brian.
Hello from afar, Charch. Making history on Fantasy Football Weekly.
First yes.
Remote episode. I'm honored to be a part of it.
But absolutely. Absolutely.
Good to hear a human voice.
Yeah, we'll take any and all human contact at this point is probably good human contact, right?
No doubt, without a doubt. And any free agent move at this point is the most captivating news in the NFL. But we've been lucky. There's been some haymakers out there.
Last week, Matt and I broke down the quarterbacks that moved, and there were a ton of them. Huge quarterback week. If you missed that episode, we encourage you to go back to the podcast. And then this week, you and I are going to break down all the running back changes, including the guys who have new destinations and even the guys who stayed in place in the fantasy value of those guys who had the chance to leave, like a Derrick Henry, but did not end up going anywhere. We'll talk about those guys, too. Let's kick it off, Brian, with Todd Gurley. Last year, he was running back 17 in points per game, ultimately released by the Rams due to the bloated contract he had as much as anything else, and I think probably their ongoing concern with the knee, and subsequently signed by Atlanta, where he replaces Devonta Freeman, who's currently a free agent. What do you? Let's start here. What do you think of the Rams without Todd Gurley?
Well, everyone immediately started jumping back on, I should say, the Darryl. Is it Darrell?
He's a Darryl. I think he's a straight Darryl.
He basically was never mentioned on TV last season, so we never got to hear his name.
Yes, you're right.
But you know, he's the guy everyone's talking about now for the Rams, outside of their awful new logo, of course. But I'm not getting too excited for Henderson. They didn't invest a ton of draft capital in him last year. He was the 70th overall pick in the draft.
That's not bad. He was like the third or fourth running back taken, I think.
But he never had like that, the heir apparent vibe to him. Like, you know, he was the guy after Gurley, like, and even after they released Gurley, it's not like because they have Henderson. I feel like they're going to invest in another running back somewhere in the draft in the same region, third, fourth, even though they don't really have many picks left, do they? Or money to pay players. But I don't know. He just doesn't have bell cow potential to me. And his ADP is probably, you know, crept up two to three rounds since the Gurley news, but
I'm
just fading it personally. It just seems like it's going to be another like, you know, a three-headed monster that isn't very dangerous, because the running back usage was abysmal for the Rams last year. They weren't used in the passing game whatsoever. We're not sure if that's going to change. It's just like it's like the Patriots on the West Coast. You know, I hate the Patriots running back situation, always have, and I'm getting that same vibe from LA, so I'm just out entirely on Henderson.
I'm way more optimistic on Henderson, and here's why. Malcolm Brown, to me, is a middling talent. I don't think he's at all special, Brian. Darrell Henderson flashed some really nice stuff in the preseason last year, and there's going to be reps for him to have. Now, obviously, if they burn a second-round pick at the running back position, you know, everything changes, but I'm very intrigued by Henderson. We've seen a lot of cases where a young rookie running back doesn't get a lot of reps, and then year two, it all blossoms together. Devonta Freeman, who's relevant to this argument, was one of those guys who blossomed in year two. Todd Gurley now goes to Atlanta, and the Falcons have only got Ito Smith and Kadri Allison and Brian Hill. I mean, you know, all those guys who did nothing last year. How do you see Todd Gurley working his way into the Falcons rotation here?
Well, just a one-year deal, correct? So it feels like they're just going to sort of run him into the ground and see what they got. But listen to this. This is brutal for Atlanta running backs. Since 2012, Atlanta's lead back is averaging only 813 rushing yards. And only twice has the lead back topped 1,000 yards, and that was Devonta Freeman in 2015 and 2016. And he didn't even top 1,100 yards in those years. So It's never been a real money spot for a lead back in Atlanta. They were ranked 24th in run blocking by Football Outsiders last season. Mm-hmm. From what I recall, they spent a couple early picks on offensive line, and those guys got hurt early on.
That is
true.
So
that O-line was kind of ravaged by injuries. But, it's an exciting offense, Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley.
No Hayden Austin
Hurst
Hooper.
Now, I guess, as a lead tight end. No Austin Hooper, but Hayden Hurst. Seems pretty comparable. So I'm bullish on Gurley. I think, it's his home state. He's going to be motivated. We know that.
He's got money motivation again for whatever. Although he's going to come off a year in which he will have been paid by both teams. They paid him $20 million to leave. And now he also gets paid by Atlanta. Todd Gurley's having a pretty good financial year.
Yes, definitely. And, if I'm a contender in a dynasty or empire league, I'm willing to roll the dice on him short term and redraft. I think he's back up in the late second, early third round tier right now. Mm-hmm. He could creep up, I'm optimistic for Gurley. I hope he does well over Atlanta.
All right. I mean, the part that you're not touching on with Gurley is the knee, Brian.
I was saving that for you to touch on the actual body part.
Right. If there's nothing I like better than touching body parts. The worry for me is that Todd Gurley just is never going to be a workhorse back again, ever. And if he really could be, then I think the Rams would have been a lot more open to keeping him. I think we're going to see a lot of what we saw last year, 12 carry games, 15 or 12 touch games, 15 touch games, 8 touch games, stuff like that. That's going to make him really up and down for fantasy owners. But I do agree with what you're saying about that offense as a whole. It's going to be a very healthy offense and he'll get the goal line work for sure. And, with Matt Ryan throwing balls to Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley, there's certainly room for Todd Gurley to get some touchdowns, and I like that part of it. So if I were to summarize Gurley this way, I'm going to ask you this. Does he have more or less fantasy value this year than he had last year?
Well, I just know, this time last year, everyone was way down on Gurley leading up into the summer. So, those feelings aren't the same right now for whatever reason, him going to a new team. So I'm just going to go with more. I think he's going to have more value, even though I think he quietly was still an RB2 last year, even though it was an awful year. But I do think we see some more production from Gurley this year. Of course, if he can stay healthy, we'll cross our fingers for that.
Yeah, let's hope so. Reminder: you went off the board last year at the ADP wise in August, the preseason of last year. He was going off the board at roughly position 10. So there ended up being a lot of downside in Gurley last season. Let's shift over to Melvin Gordon, who ends up signing a 2-year, $16 million deal after one of the dumbest holdouts in the history of the NFL. And ultimately now gone from San Diego. He scored 9 touchdowns last year, despite missing those first 4 games. But Brian, Melvin Gordon only averaged 3.8 yards per carry. And I think I saw a stat go by my Twitter feed along the lines of this. So if I don't get this perfect, I apologize, but it's close. I think it was Pro Football Focus showed him as the league's worst starting running back on inside carries in the NFL.
Yeah, I saw a similar stat. And again, you got to feel bad for Philip Lindsay here. It just feels like a redo of last year where Gordon wasn't the best running back on his team when Austin Eckler was the best running back. But when Gordon came back, he continually ate into Eckler's touches. And that's what's going to happen with Philip Lindsay, who right now is essentially the backup, which is insane because he's like a top 12 running back in the NFL, top 12, 15 running back.
And Lindsay's better.
Yeah.
Don't you think the same thing can happen again where, we roll into a season thinking Melvin Gordon's going to get most of the work and then, the other guy's sort of the backup and Eckler ends up being the better back. I don't know that doesn't happen again. Gordon gets the first crack to show that he's good, but then Philip Lindsay is ultimately the better back and they go back to him.
Hopefully, I think that's how it will play out. And we should quickly mention that Royce Freeman is non-existent anymore. I think
he is. Let's get the name right. Royce dropped the piano. Freeman finished last year as running back 52 in points per game. Royce dropped the piano. Freeman, what do you think about LA now with Austin Eckler and Justin Jackson?
I remember during the regular season on the show, towards the end of the season, for premature speculation, we were recommending guys over a good dynasty stash if you're dead in a dynasty league and grabbing a guy with virtually no value at the time. But if the cards fall in his favor, he might have some value come the start of 2020. And that's Justin Jackson right now, who's the number two behind Eckler. And they like Justin Jackson. And Justin Jackson has looked good in his limited action. So Eckler is for right now in PPR leagues a borderline late round one pick.
I think he is. Now, he finished last year's RB6 in PPR. I don't see why he wouldn't be RB6 necessarily again this year. Offense can't be any more dysfunctional than it was last year in general, right? So you would think that this would be an opportunity for Austin Eckler to potentially get even better than what we saw last year, if that's possible. No Melvin Gordon there, right? Who's to say that at the 1 yard line that it's all going to be Justin Jackson? You know, Austin Eckler is not a scat back.
Definitely not. Yeah, so I'm excited for Eckler's prospects. And Justin Jackson, I think, is a must cuff for Eckler owners going into the season, throughout draft season. And but, yeah, it's, you know, it's going to be a lot of playing from behind, most likely from the Chargers, which usually bodes well for fantasy production. So I like the running back situation from a fantasy perspective in L.A. for the Chargers. I don't like it in Denver, though, from a fantasy perspective. It's a great real-life situation now with Gordon and Philip Lindsay running behind an O-line that was ranked 10 in run blocking by Football Outsiders. And all of a sudden, this Broncos offense is pretty sexy with Sutton and Noah Fant. And they have the 15th overall pick. I think they're either going to bolster that line or take one of these elite wide receivers to pair with Sutton. And then I like Drew Lock. So all of a sudden, you got a really fun offense. And when it comes to the running back situation, one of these guys has to go down, really, for me to get excited about him. I'll probably be looking to pick up Lindsay on draft day because, you know, his ADP is going to plummet a little bit with the Gordon signing. But yeah, I'll take the discount on him all day, 10 out of 10 times over Gordon.
It's going to be heavily discounted. Melvin Gordon finished actually in points per game. And again, so this is after he missed those first four games. And actually, I think he missed the fifth game, too. In points per game, he ended up RB 15, which is not that bad in PPR. And so based on that, do you believe Melvin Gordon will have more or less fantasy value this year than last?
If you're taking everything into account from last year, the fact that he missed, you know, the first handful of games, but on a points per game basis, it almost feels like a lateral move because I feel like Lindsay will eat into Gordon's numbers as Eckler did, rightfully so. So I'm on the fence here, but I'll say a little bit more because I think it's a better offense, and I just think he'll score more touchdowns with the Broncos. And let's not forget this angle, Charge. Two guaranteed revenge games for Melvin Gordon the next two seasons.
Yeah, there you go. Right, stays
the Chargers in the division, so you gotta love that. He'll be running hard for those games.
All right, I like it. Let's go to David Johnson. He was a disaster last year, clocking in as RB38 in points per game. But really, it was worse than that, Brian, because after about week five, he brought nothing to the table. He topped 40 rushing yards two times last year. None of them after. And by the way, that's it. You can stop right there. David Johnson topped 40 rushing yards twice last year. I mean, that's a disaster by itself. None of them were after week five. So he was a guy you could have dropped in early October and been better off having dropped him. Arguably fantasy football's biggest bust last year, David Johnson. Average draft position was pick 7 for David Johnson last year. He leaves Arizona with Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds. Let's start there. What do you think of the Arizona backfield now that David Johnson's out?
Oh, Kenyon Drake is right up there with Austin Eckler, almost in that elite tier of late first, early second round running backs. I think he's easily in PPR top 10 running back, Kenyon Drake, in that Arizona offense, who without a doubt will address their offensive line in the draft, starting with the 8th overall pick. If they don't go O-line there, something is seriously amiss. You know, they added DeAndre Hopkins. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a very fun offense. Kyler Murray just spreads the field almost like no other. Last year, Drake faced 8-plus men in the box on just 8% of his carries with Arizona. That's the third lowest rate. The opponents aren't going to be able to afford to stuff the box against Arizona with Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins now, Christian Kirk. So it's going to be a very fun offense. And Kenyon Drake, I couldn't fault anyone for if taking him as their lead back in the late first, early second round of fantasy drafts, really.
I don't think I think Kenyon Drake's an okay running back. That offensive line has to get better. Brian, they just it's one of the four worst in the NFL. So hopefully this draft, and they have a ton of defensive need as well. Arizona does, but hopefully in this draft they're serious about addressing their offensive line deficiencies. And if they do that, then I'm starting to listen to Kenyon Drake that high. But right now I'm not quite as enthusiastic as you are. Let's talk about where this puts David Johnson in the Houston with Houston, where at least he's going to have to deal with Duke Johnson in what will likely be another situation where we'll have a split backfield, right?
Right. And just to talk reality football for a quick second, Bill O'Brien, head coach and GM, isn't qualified to run a fantasy football team when he could have signed Todd Gurley or Melvin Gordon a couple days later and then kept DeAndre Hopkins.
Kept one of the five best wide receivers in the league.
For less money than what the contract they absorbed with David Johnson. So for that reason, talk about getting run into the ground. They are going to do everything in their power in Houston to make that trade look like a good idea, which is impossible. It's never going to happen. But as long as Johnson can stay healthy, mm-hmm. he's going to get used like a workhorse back, Duke Johnson in tow or not. So, but it's not, you know, running back hasn't been a great spot since Arian Foster for the Texans. Last year they were ranked in the bottom third when it comes to run blocking by Football Outsiders. David Johnson turns 29 this season. I'm out on Johnson pretty much, even though I just traded for him in an Empire League, but I basically got him for free because that's the general perspective.
That's all you have to give up for David Johnson is basically air. We should note Carlos Hyde and Lamar Miller, both unsigned free agents right now. And, you know, as time goes on, and there's not going to be a lot of value for these guys, and it's a running back rich draft. I think both of these guys have an excellent chance of being unsigned until after the draft when teams can, you know, teams look and go, well, all right, we didn't walk out of the draft with any of the running backs we had hoped to get. So, you know, we'll make do with Carlos Hyde or whatever's left of Lamar Miller's career. So it's David Johnson's job to take. And now the question is he going to be in so much better shape now that they can actually get something useful, get some useful reps out of David Johnson? And, you know, because if he shows up looking like he did last year, it doesn't matter. Guy can't play football at that size. Let's take a quick break. Then I want to talk about two other guys that have moved, Jordan Howard and Peyton Barber. I don't think I spent a lot of time on either one, but we'll talk about those. And then some of the guys who stayed in place, like Damian Williams and Derrick Henry and Kenyon Drake, back in moments. Welcome back. Paul Charchi and Brian Johnson with you. We are talking through the running backs in new places. We've done Todd Gurley and Melvin Gordon and David Johnson. Let's turn our attention briefly to two other guys that I don't think have nearly as much impact and ultimately won't. That includes Jordan Howard. He was running back 28 in points per game last year. He goes to Miami, where he's effectively the lead back for the moment. But let's start here, maybe more saliently than Jordan Howard. This leaves the Eagles with Miles Sanders and Boston Scott. Now, that becomes pretty intriguing. What do you think of those two players without Jordan Howard there in Philadelphia?
Well, Miles Sanders, people are ringing the bell cowbell for him already, and justifiably so. He looked like he could play that role in the later parts of the season last year. You know, and Boston Scott looked great when Sanders got hurt.
He did. He really did.
He certainly has carved out a role for himself.
He has.
Where he's going to get at least 20-30% of the touches, you think, with the Eagles. So, Sanders, again, right with the other running backs we mentioned who have stayed put, he's right in that tier with Eckler and Kenyon Drake. He might even be viewed higher than those guys right now. I don't know how I would rank those three, but they're all safe RB2s with RB1 upside.
Yeah, and for Sanders, who's getting goal line carries? Not Boston Scott, that's for sure, right? So I think the upside that Sanders brings is tremendous, Brian, from that standpoint that he never really, you know, didn't have while Jordan Howard was there to a great extent with the Eagles. Now for the Dolphins, they have very little depth at running back. Patrick Laird and Miles Gaskin, who proved themselves to be, you know, completely ordinary at best last year. Where, you know, I think Miami will bolster the running back position at some point, probably in the draft where they've got a billion picks. But assuming they don't for the moment, what do you, and just what we know right now, what do you think of Jordan Howard with the Dolphins?
Jordan Howard turns 26 in November, still pretty young.
He is young, yeah.
The third most rushing yards and seventh most rushing touchdowns since 2016. So,
wow.
So he's been effective.
Would not have guessed that.
He didn't lose his job last season with the Eagles. He got hurt. No, he is still the starting running back. It's not like he was playing bad, but he isn't an exciting back by any means. He certainly is not known for his pass catching prowess. In his four seasons in the league, he owns a 16% drop rate, which is very high. He generates less than 0.8 yards per route run, and only two of his 82 career catches have gone for touchdowns. So he's not really a bell cow type guy, and I can't envision Miami. I know you said try to envision them not drafting running back. That's virtually impossible with 14 picks. So definitely going to take, if not one, maybe two. It says how many and when. And I think they're going to take one of these elite backs
in
the first round.
I do too.
DeAndre Swift or Dobbins or, you know, one of those guys. So I know Howard's ADP has left in best balls right now because he is the starting running back on a team with no depth, but his job is threatened already before the draft has even started. They're going to draft someone to seriously eat into his work, but he should be the goal line back.
So he'll be the goal line back. He'll get rotational work, right? I mean, you know, even if they draft somebody, that, you know, whoever that rookie is likely to end up sharing time with Jordan Howard at some point. Let's go to, and then I'll ask again, does he have more or less fantasy value this year than last year, Jordan Howard?
He's going from running behind arguably the best offensive line to the worst. The Dolphins ranked dead last in run blocking by Football Outsiders last year. They traded Laramie Tunsil to acquire some of these picks. So they got 14 draft picks, five in the first two rounds. So they seriously need to address their offensive line. But Miami was kind of a garbage time point haven towards the end of the year, which they could be again, or they could be the best team in that division. Who knows? AFC East. But it feels like another lateral move, but I think there's going to be a little less value because I do think Miami takes one of these elite running backs that they're going to have no choice but to give the majority of touches to.
All right. I don't want to spend a lot of time on Peyton Barber, who topped 50 rushing yards zero times after week three last year and scored three times in the final 11 games of the season. He was nondescript. He goes to Washington he's into the mix with Adrian Peterson and Darius Geis and Bryce Love. He might not even make the cut. But maybe more importantly, you know, Tampa's got this gaping hole now at running back, and they've got Ronald Jones, but he was completely incapable of stepping up when they repeatedly tried to get anything out of Ronald Jones. I feel like Tampa's another team that's really set to draft another running back and fill that hole left by Peyton Barber.
Yeah, I know a lot of people would love to see Kareem Hunt end up in Tampa, which is very unlikely now that Cleveland signed up to a second round tender.
Right.
But yeah, I don't. Ronald Jones is not the guy, even though Tom Brady has been heard calling him Ron. That means they're pretty close already, but I don't think Tom and Ron are going to be sharing the backfield as much as Ron would like. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think they draft a pretty big name running back who is going to be better than Ronald Jones and get a lot more touches. So, I'm not buying a spike in value for Ronald Jones now.
All right, Paul Charchian.
Barber is gone.
Yeah. And Paul Charchian and Brian Johnson, you can follow Brian on Twitter at BTXJ, and I am at Paul Charchian. Let's talk about some of the runners who are staying in place, beginning with Damian Williams. The Chiefs exercised a team option on him and will bring him back. Now, he was running. He's going to be one of the most divisive players for fantasy owners. Anybody who tried to get through the regular season with him suffered badly because Damian Williams was hurt basically all season long and they got virtually nothing out of him. And you didn't know if he was going to start or not start. And even if he was active, was going to get the ball. It was a disaster for Damian Williams. And then here comes week 17 through the Super Bowl. And he couldn't have been a better fantasy producer. An astounding run for Damian Williams in the postseason and week 17. So he's going to stay in place here. He's currently the team's clear number one, to the point that I feel like all the rest of the mishmash of guys that Kansas City trolled out last year, I don't think any of them are necessarily even guaranteed to be back with the team. They're all terrible. So where do you feel like Damian Williams fits in this year as he stays with this team? Probably doesn't have to sweat the Daryl Williams of the world. LeSean McCoy is going to be gone. Spencer Ware's going to be gone. You know, where do you feel like he fits in?
This is a player where, you know, owners are really going to be holding their breath during the NFL draft. And they might be holding their breath for a very long time if they draw out the draft for a whole week, which we both think they should, by the way. It's a great idea in these times. But it's all about if the Chiefs invest any serious draft capital in a running back. And if they don't, then it's Yahtzee for Damian Williams owners. If they do, then, you know, there's going to be a little more trepidation if you're going to draft him come draft day. But as of right now, he is the guy, like you said, and he's almost fits right in with the Austin Ecklers and the Melvin Gordons of the world now. I think he has the RB2, safe RB2 floor with RB1 elite upside if he can stay healthy, like any running back.
Yeah, his upside, if they don't draft a running back, the Chiefs don't draft a running back, Damian Williams has the upside to be the highest scoring running back in fantasy football. He's not the best running back, and not by a fair margin, but in that offense, as we saw in the playoffs, he can be an elite fantasy point producer. And that's the kind of upside we're talking about. It'll be fascinating to see if the Chiefs go there or not. It's safe to say, I'll ask you the same question I'm asking for all these guys, does Damian Williams have more or less fantasy value this year than last year? The answer's got to be more, right? Because he missed so much time and played so sporadically with the injury last year.
Yeah, assuming he stays healthy again and Kansas City doesn't draft a premier back, he's got to have more going into this year. I would agree.
I think so too. Let's talk Derrick Henry. He was running back 3, even in PPR leagues last year. And if you're non PPR, he may have been running back 1 for you. He gets the Titans franchise tag and the team released Deion Lewis, a player very near and dear to your heart. How do you think this shapes up? Is there any reason to think this is going to be any different for Derrick Henry this year than last year?
Well, he's probably going to be running a little angrier, getting the franchise tag. He wanted the big Zeke money. Didn't get that. This is where my stance on Henry right now is. I think LaDainian Tomlinson was the only runner in the 2000s to repeat as rushing champion. And that was back in the 06, 07 times. So I don't like Henry's chances repeating as the rushing champ. His ADP is right. It's probably right around running back 5, 6. I don't know. I think not a whole lot's going to change for him. It appears Ryan Tannehill will be the quarterback. No major changes there. They might draft a wide receiver, Corey Davis, looking like a bust. They got A.J. Brown, of course. So, I don't know. Henry's right around where he's at, and nothing has really changed here. We just know definitively that he'll be playing for Tennessee this season.
Where does Henry – I believe Derrick Henry will go roughly pick 2, pick 3, maybe as low as pick 4 in some leagues, but I think that's it. Don't you see he's at the beginning of the first round in most fantasy drafts?
Yeah, definitely. And in standard leagues – you can make the case for him to be the top overall running back. That's tough over McCaffrey, but you could make the case in standard leagues, non-PPR, of course.
Yeah, you can. Although Teddy Bridgewater, just the dump offs that are coming, it's going to be.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You know, I would not be surprised to see a 100 catch season for Christian McCaffrey.
Don't rule out PJ Walker, XFL star PJ Walker.
Beating out Teddy altogether, right?
You never know. He looked pretty good.
Let's take one more quick break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about some of the other non-moves and some of the unsigned running backs. It's Fantasy Football Weekly. All right, we're back. Paul Charchian, Brian Johnson with you. Brian, Gus Edwards re-signed by Baltimore is not a big move by itself, but it really does muddy the waters for those of us that are drafted and have held Justice Hill for a while, hoping that he would emerge out of this backfield either through maybe middling play from Mark Ingram, which he was anything but middling. He was great last year. Or just that Gus Edwards would leave and then, you know, Justice Hill could maybe step up. What are your thoughts on that Baltimore backfield with Gus Edwards back in it?
Yeah, Gus Edwards will continue to muddy the waters there. Justice Hill had a lot of hype last summer as this potential, you know, bell cow, if anything were to happen to Mark Ingram. But it was Gus Edwards who was just kind of always the number two throughout the season. So it's another three-headed monster that's, you know, it's tough to dissect. Mm-hmm. Where do you want to take it on draft day? It's almost one of those back deals that you want to target in best ball where you know, you can get Ingram this season in the fourth, fifth round, and then not a lot of people are going to be into Gus Edwards and Justice Hill for not owning Ingram. So that's a good backfield to target in best ball where you can kind of try handcuff those three guys to each other. But yeah, it muddies the water big times. And in dynasty leagues, Justice Hill might be more of a long play than people were hoping for.
Mark Ingram, shockingly good last year, finished as running back 8 in PPR, including 5 receiving touchdowns to go with his 10 rushing touchdowns and a total of almost 1,300 yards. Most people did not see a top 10 performance from Mark Ingram coming, in part because your quarterback's stealing so much of the running work that I think most people felt like there wasn't, that the timeshare and the presence of Lamar Jackson was just going to be too much for Mark Ingram to overcome. But to his credit, he had a fantastic season, one of the best seasons of his career, and rolls into this year. And it'll also be, I think, his 10th season now. And he rolls in feeling like he's another guy that you can safely draft. And I don't feel like there's requisite buzz and recognition for Mark Ingram for what he did last year.
Yeah, and people are scared off by the age. He's 31 now, 30, or he turns 31 this season, but he's still got a lot of tread on the tires for a 30, 31-year-old. Never run into the ground in New Orleans. It was always splitting time. So
yeah, that helped.
Yeah, I think he's seriously undervalued too. And, you know, Baltimore, they're gonna run the ball, whether it's Lamar Jackson or Mark Ingram, and play great defense. They're not gonna be airing it out a ton. One would think it's going to be they're going to play it like last year. And if that happens and Ingram stays healthy, he's another guy, safe RB2 floor, with RB1 potential. If he can get the 220, 230 carries, it'll need it.
Kareem Hunt's got a new head coach, Kevin Stefanski, who we're familiar with here in Minnesota. Stefanski's done a nice job getting fantasy values out of his running back for the last several years. And needless to say, Dalvin Cook was electric, and he was a fantastic fantasy back last season. I think Kareem Hunt, who will continue to share time with Nick Chubb in much the same role that we saw last year, even though this is a new offense, you can't take Nick Chubb off the field. And they still use Kareem Hunt a lot last season once he was available in the second half of the year. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, once Hunt came off the suspension and it didn't take him long to get warmed up, he was outscoring Nick Chubb in PPR leagues, and he finished as a top 12 PPR back, more like top 7 in the second half of the season. He was an elite option, and yeah, Cleveland's got their hands full in a good way with Chubb and Hunt. And it's an easy call for me on draft day. If I have to pick one, if it's Chubb in the late first, early second, or if it's Hunt in the 6th, 7th round, I'll take Hunt all day long because he could be the better running back. They're both elite, but Hunt led the league in rushing as a rookie. I don't think that happens very often. A couple of years ago with the Chiefs, he led the league in rushing as a rookie. So
yeah, did Zeke? Zeke might have done the same thing. I don't remember. It was close. I think
he was close. He was up there.
And then there was Barkley too. I think actually it does happen a lot. Barkley, it was awesome in his rookie year. Zeke was awesome. Hunt was awesome.
Well,
it really can happen.
Last year, Zeke led the league in rushing last year.
Yeah.
In Barkley's rookie year. Barkley didn't do it.
He was close.
Barkley was pressing Zeke,
Barkley may have had more total yards than Zeke did, but maybe not. I don't remember.
Probably. Because he had like 20 catches in one game. Eli Manning dumping the ball off to him all day long.
Right.
Back in those days.
All right. So just from a PPR standpoint, from a points per game standpoint, do you believe Kareem Hunt will have more or less fantasy value this year than last year?
From a per game standpoint, I would have to say more because that offense was so dysfunctional. Even when Hunt came back, the whole team in general, like it just has to improve. It has to, even though it's Cleveland. And for that reason, I think we'll see a slight uptick in Hunt's production, and they're probably going to want to not lean on Chubb as much as they did last year, you know, keep him fresh for what they hope is a potential playoff run. So
yeah.
I think, you know, we see a little more touches for Hunt and a little less for Chubb than what we saw in the latter parts of the season last year. So I'll go a little more on a per game basis for Hunt.
Yeah. Hunt only had 5 carries per game and he only scored 3 touchdowns, which really torpedoed his fantasy value, but he was still, the receiving numbers were there. He was getting targeted 4, 5, 8, 9 times per game targeted. And so the targets were there. I think if things, it's easy to see a scenario where he gets more rushes and maintains the receiving that he was getting last year and just converts it into more touchdowns than just the only three that he ended up scoring through the second half of last season. Fantasy value does go up. Any of the unsigned now guys? Go ahead.
Is the door open a little bit for Cleveland to deal Hunks still? I mean, of course they could trade him, but sure. Have they signed him to the tender? He's not a lock to be a Cleveland Brown going into the 2020 season, right?
Yeah, I don't think any team is going to match his second round tender. But you're right. There is a trade scenario out there for some contending team that loses a running back. Maybe it does work out that way. Let me hit you with some of the unsigned guys and tell me if you think these guys are totally cooked or is there fantasy value left for any of these guys? Devonta Freeman, Lamar Miller, Carlos Hyde, Frank Gore.
Well, Frank Gore, we don't want to joke too much about the times, but we always joke he's going to survive, you know, the nuclear fallout and whenever that comes. So Frank Gore.
But no, fantasy value. He hasn't been a meaningful fantasy player for a long time. He was the guy you picked up off the waiver wire when there was nobody else left over the past several seasons to just start in a bye week desperation scenario.
Yeah, he has no value. We shouldn't talk about Frank Gore anymore. No. Out of all those guys, you would hope it's Devonta Freeman. Mm-hmm. He's not fully cooked. He needs to land in the right scenario. Of course, all these guys do. And you're gonna give me a hard time about Lamar Miller. I know, but I still think so for Lamar Miller. Things didn't work out for him in Houston. He never ran behind a competent line. The offensive line was always ranked basically dead last in all his 3 or 4 years in Houston. He needs to be landing in the right spot, though. He's coming off an MCL and an ACL. There's nothing too exciting about any of those guys, and that's probably why they're still free agents.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think Carlos Hyde surprised us. We didn't think he'd have any fantasy value. He ended up being a fairly meaningful fantasy guy. And somebody that if you were you were flexing Carlos Hyde most weeks, you felt okay about that. And he did all right for your team. So, you know, there's a scenario out there with injuries and just the right spot where Freeman, Miller, Hyde, Gore's dead. One of these guys will end up having some value.
They'll all be drafted, I'm sure, in the later stages of drafts as handcuffs. And maybe as a starter, a fringe starter like Freeman has that potential. But, yeah, again, not too excited about any of them.
Great job, Brian. Thanks for all the help this week. Next week, I think we're back to Matt Harrison. A little explosive output. We're going to break down the wide receiver and tight end moves, much like we have running backs in this show and quarterbacks last week. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you in 1 week.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.